Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Workmen's Commission invites the government and unions to resume public sector pay talks. It comes after ICTA representatives said they would prepare for industrial action in September. Police in Strabane investigating a serious road collision in St Mills yesterday afternoon are appealing for witnesses. Refugees in Ireland could spend the winter in tents, giving the numbers arriving here. That's according to the Irish Red Cross. There are calls for a review of coercive control legislation. We'll hear from the manager of the Donegal Domestic Violence Centre. And hope is fading that agreement can be reached this evening on agriculture sector emissions. All these stories to follow, and later in the bulletin we'll have the sports news with Oisín. That's coming up at around 5:15. Good evening. The Workplace Relations Commission has invited the government and unions to resume public sector pay talks. It comes after ICTU representatives said they would prepare for industrial action in September unless talks get back up and running. Previous talks collapsed when the unions rejected an offer which they said came nowhere near addressing the inflation issue. ICTU wants the Public Expenditure Minister to show commitment to public sector pay talks by getting back around the negotiating table, after Minister Michael McGrath said yesterday the government would be as flexible as possible when it came to improving pay for the public service. Well, John King from SIPTU says the best way to prove that commitment is to re-engage in talks.
The only place that we're going to be able to conclude an acceptable outcome to this is in talks under the auspices of the WRC. What we need to see is that commitment, or that sense of commitment that the minister was indicating in terms of wanting to conclude an agreement, that needs to transpose itself into, you know, talks back at the WRC.
Police in Strabane investigating a serious road collision in St Mills yesterday afternoon are appealing for witnesses. The two-vehicle crash was reported at around 10 to 2. With more details, here's Emma Ryan.
The two-vehicle collision on Mailmount Road involved a white Vauxhall van and a blue Volvo lorry. Emergency services attended the scene and the driver of the van was taken to hospital by air ambulance for treatment. Police say at this time his injuries are believed to be life-changing. Strabane-based inspector Ken McDermott says as part of their inquiries, the PSNI have spoken to a number of witnesses and they are appealing to anyone who may have witnessed what occurred or captured the collision on their dashcam to get in touch if they haven't spoken to police already. Mailmount Road was closed for several hours yesterday as officers dealt with the collision, conducted a technical examination of the scene and then prepared for the road to be cleared. Inspector McDermott has thanked all those affected by the closure for their patience.
Refugees arriving in Ireland could spend the winter in tents, giving the numbers arriving here. That's according to the Irish Red Cross, as efforts continue to provide accommodation for those arriving from Ukraine and elsewhere. The pressure will grow over the next month as 1,500 refugees are moved from student accommodation. Secretary General of the Irish Red Cross, Liam O'Dwyer, admits that tents may be used during the winter months.
It could lie ahead, and I mean, that's simply a reality. And we're not alone in this, by the way. If you look at what's happening in other countries around Europe, I know in particular the Netherlands have a similar issue at the moment, and they're talking about cruise ships. That's the type of solution that people are looking at, and that's purely on the basis of the size of the numbers. But we're hoping that pledged accommodation over the certainly the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, that will help considerably.
There are calls for a review of coercive control legislation. The manager of the Donegal Domestic Violence Centre believes there needs to be an overhaul because of the amount of cases coming forward and the high level of complexity involved. Yesterday, former Garda Paul Moody was jailed for coercively controlling his ex-girlfriend from 2017 to 2020. He bombarded her with thousands of abusive messages, often expressing his hope that she would die from the cancer that she was battling at the time. On today's 9 till noon show, Dr. Marie Hainsworth suggested it's time for a review to ensure that the focus is on the victims' needs.
We've probably got enough cases now that we can begin to look at what is actually happening within the courts and what we need to do to make this easier for victims to come forward, easier and clearer for judges in terms of sentencing, and then also clearer for Gardaí so they know what they need to do and maybe how they can make even collating the evidence a bit of an easier process for victims, a bit more victim-friendly and a bit more victim-focused, and then that the DPP has a clearer way of saying, yeah, that's enough evidence. So I think we probably do need to do a review at this stage.
Hope is fading that an agreement on agriculture sector emissions can be reached this evening. Talks have been continuing through the day after the final planned cabinet meeting of the summer concluded without agreement. A final landing zone between 22 and 30% reduction in emissions for the agriculture sector has yet to be worked out. Fianna Fáil TD Barry Cowan has suggested suspending the talks until September might be the wisest approach, but he acknowledges a deal will have to be reached.
You know, that's the job of work we have, is to reach an agreement, for it to be an informed one, for it to bring all parties with it at the same starting line, as I said, rather than the acrimony that could be caused by not having an agreement at this stage, which augurs very badly for reaching those targets.
A public consultation on a new €3.5 million visitor centre at Fanad Lighthouse is underway this evening in Fianna Fáil. The proposed 7,800 square foot centre includes a cafe, shop, meeting room and art workshop space, as well as an upgraded car park and play area. Plans are on view at Fianna Fáil Hall until 8 o'clock this evening. Aisling Leahy is a director at Vincent Hannan Architects. She says the development will ensure the lighthouse dominates the physical space.
Our brief from Udaroth na Gaeltachta, who are our clients on this scheme, they brought on board late last year to prepare plans for the new visitor centre. We appreciate there's an existing building there at the moment, but it's very much too small for the needs of the staff of the lighthouse, but also for the local community. So working very closely with the local community group, we have been doing this since pretty much last December, and we've been very hands-on process to date. We've gone through four different layouts for the proposed type of building, and today is the what we're presenting is a preferred option for what we all feel together is the most site-responsive approach, where as we one of the key things we looked at when we came to Fanad Head initially early this year was that as you arrive in Fanad Head toward the lighthouse, the existing visitor centre building is very much sat into the landscape, and the key feature that you see at the headland is the lighthouse, and we very much want to keep in that kind of keeping. So our design approach for this is very much to maintain that approach and where the new building sits into the landscape, and that's a very important design parameter for us.
And to another major attraction in Donegal, an initial work has commenced on the new state-of-the-art €12.5 million Fort Dunree visitor experience. The initial design team meeting took place at the site last week. The project is due to be developed over the next 18 months. Joan Crawford, the manager of Wild Atlantic Way with Fáilte Ireland, says it'll be a world-class experience when complete.
Work has commenced on Fort Dunree Military Museum, so it's a key milestone in the development and the delivery of this exciting tourism experience, not only for Annishome but also for Donegal. So we're really looking forward to working with Donegal County Council, the community and the local stakeholders as we work towards delivering this world-class experience for Fort Dunree and Head. We'll see an increase in retail space available. There'll also be a food offering, but we'll also be looking at opening that experience for nighttime experiences in terms of the new amphitheatre that will be created there. So there'll be festival and event space created also. The amphitheatre space will leave us that we'll be able to host concerts, exhibitions and festivals, etc. within that space.
A big cash reward and a commission of inquiry are needed to solve Michaela McAreevy's murder. That's according to the former Attorney General of Mauritius, Rama Valaidan. 27-year-old Michaela was killed on the holiday island in 2011. No one's been convicted of her murder. Mr. Valaidan, a leading barrister, is critical of the police investigation.
We have a bunch of government officials who are only playing politics with the case. But they have never wanted, in fact, to find the truth. They have acted sloppily. They have not really given any fun to the police or nominated the right person to do the inquiry.
An investigation is underway in Belfast over allegations that a PSNI officer allegedly tried to share pictures of a dead body from the police database. It's believed the officer was suspended this week over a separate misconduct allegation. With more detail, here's Sarah McKinley.
Jim Lennon tragically died by suicide in 2012. In 2017, his family was told by the Ombudsman they were investigating allegations. An officer attempted to share photos of the 46-year-old's body from a police system. His sister Deirdre this morning told BBC News Northern Ireland of the nightmare that they've been living since. The PPS confirmed today that it received a file in March, and potential offences being looked at include misconduct in public office, theft and harassment. It's understood that a PSNI member was suspended for 5 years on full pay. The incident has prompted questions as to how that could be. Two policing board members have issued statements this morning. Sinn Féin's Gerry Kelly and the SDLP's Sinead McLaughlin have demanded answers from the Chief Constable.
The PSNI is seeking the public's help in finding a man who's missing from County Tyrone. 47-year-old Damien Higney has gone missing from Cookstown. Police say they're increasingly concerned for his well-being. Damien is described as being 5 feet 10, of stocky build, with links to the Tyrone and Fermanagh areas. Anyone with information on his whereabouts is being asked to contact police. There are fears someone will be seriously injured or worse unless works are carried out on a bridge in the Mean Bannet area of West Donegal. There have been a number of crashes at Bunwillan Bridge, with calls from locals for remedial work to be completed and the bridge widened. Local councillor Micheál Cullum-Gilhaspig says urgent action is needed.
Unfortunately, at Bunwillan, they hit Bunwillan at Mean Bannet, we've seen another accident. This is unfortunately not the first time that we've seen quite a serious accident at the bridge here. Community there have been asking for quite a long time now that the bridge would be made safe. We've been raising it with the council, but unfortunately to date, nothing really has happened. The road itself is very narrow. It's an extremely busy road. It connects, I suppose, that end of the Rosses with Ahualia. And then we find that, you know, with the KG football field there, who do fantastic work, there's a lot of footfall coming from the Dunlow end, and you have the golf club and Crutch, and there's quite a lot of services and quite a lot of attraction to that very area itself. And what has to happen is that we need to sit down with the local engineers and work out a plan to make that road safer. People live there who have children. They're scared to allow the children out to walk on that road. It just doesn't happen. There's quite a high speed, and especially since we've tarred that road off new, the speed has increased, and people are really, really concerned and scared that someday they're going to hear a bang, and unfortunately there'll be fatalities on that road. So I know it's a quieter time of year that people maybe are on holidays, but at the same time I would be calling for people to please slow down on this road.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with some transfer news from cross-channel. Manchester United have completed the signing of Lisandro Martinez for €67 million. He'll move to Old Trafford on a five-year contract after winning two Dutch titles with Ajax. The defender is a full Argentina international, where he won a Copa America with his country in 2011. He also played under United boss Erik ten Hag at Ajax. Fulham have completed the signing of right-back Kevin Mabouf on a three-year deal. The Switzerland international moves to Craven Cottage from German side Wolfsburg. It's thought the fee there was around €7.7 million. Shamrock Rovers have signed former Republic of Ireland under-21 Simon Power. The midfielder moved from New City to Norwich in 2018 and was sent out on loan a number of times before joining Harrogate Town 18 months ago. And to stay in the League of Ireland, Dundalk have made their first signing of the summer window. Robert McCourt has joined the Oriel Park club from Sligo Rovers. His arrival comes as Mark Connolly returns to Dundee United after a successful loan spell with the Lily Whites. Fixture-wise tonight, Champions League qualifying continues this evening. It's the turn of the Irish League Premiership champions Linfield. They bring a 1-0 advantage to Norway for the second leg of their qualifier against Bodo Glimt this evening. Kick-off there is at 5 o'clock. And the second semi-final of the Women's European Championship takes place tonight as well. Germany face France at the Stadium NK at 8 o'clock. The winners will face England in the final. In the Colin Bresnan Youth Cup, there's one game tonight as Group A gets up and running. Kilmacrenan Celtic are playing host to Bunnaghy United. While in racing, the Willie Mullins trained El Barra is the favourite for the Galway Plate. That's the big race on day three of the festival at Ballybrit. Let's get a preview with Dennis Kerwin.
The Tote Galway Plate over 2¾ miles is the feature race on day three of the Galway races. And as always, it is ultra competitive, with Gordon Elliott, who has won three of the last six editions, well represented with three runners, the pick of whom would appear to be Ash Tree Meadow, who looks natural over fences and has won his last three starts over the larger obstacles. Willie Mullins won this race for a second time last year, and he also has three runners, with El Barra the pick of those for champion jockey Paul Townend. The first race on a mixed card on day three goes to post at 5:10 at the Galway Races with Paddy Power News. For all your festival tips, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
So the action just up and running at Ballybrit on day three. In cricket, the North West Warriors are in action in the final run of games in the T20 Interprovincial Series at Pembroke and Dublin this week. Today was day one. The Warriors are taking on the Northern Knights. They've completed their 20 overs, the Warriors with 204 for the loss of 8. The Knights will be replying shortly. Earlier today, there was victory for the Leinster Lightning, who defeated the Munster Reds by 5 wickets. Going into the final week of competition in the series, the North West Warriors trail the Reds by 4 points with 3 games to play. A number of former rugby players are taking action against the IRFU over claims they suffered brain injuries during their careers. The move follows the news that England World Cup winner Steve Thompson and former Wales captain Ryan Jones are among those to have opened legal proceedings against World Rugby, the English RFU and the WRU. The names and number of Irish players involved in the separate case have not been disclosed. And the Derry Senior Hurling Championship will continue tonight. There's a fixture in Group B. Banagher take on Ballinascreen. The action starts at 7:30, Donal. And I'll be back with more sport tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. New proposals to strengthen laws around consent have been approved by Cabinet. The proposals would mean someone accused of rape would have to show what measures they undertook to ensure consent was given. With more detail, here's Quisha Connolly.
Groups representing victims of rape and sexual assault have welcomed the proposals to change laws around consent. The Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, is due to publish details of the bill by the end of the year, which would require someone accused of rape to show what steps they took to ensure consent was given. The defence of being under the influence of drugs or alcohol will not be acceptable. Executive Director of the Rape Crisis Network, Cliona Sadlier, says proposed changes are welcome.
And at the moment, the piece here is that the defendant's subjective belief that he had consent is what determines that scenario where the court says, yes, you were raped, but no, he's not guilty.
Senator Barry Ward is a practicing barrister. He believes the proposed new laws will stand up to scrutiny.
It is something that will have to be done very carefully, but I think the suggestion is probably proportionate. And the Supreme Court has said previously that introducing these objective standards of criminal liability are acceptable where they're proportionate to the public interest, which would seem to be the case here.
If passed, the changes in the law will mean a jury will need to consider the accused decision-making capacity at the time. Mental illness, age, maturity and any disability the accused has must also be taken into account by the jury when assessing personal capacity.
Smart technology is being used to monitor sustainable tourism on islands in the West and Northwest. The study will measure the effect of tourism on islands, including its economic value, environmental impact, waste and water management, energy usage, access and transport, carbon footprint and its social and cultural impact. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
The Atlantic Technological University are collaborating with a total of 6 islands across the Northwest and West, including Aran Mór and Tory Island in Donegal. The data collection began this week using smart technologies and will continue until the end of the tourism season. The ATU will host the data of the research on an open source online database that is currently being developed to facilitate the dissemination of the data output. With the support of Faltra Ireland, Uteras na Gaeltachta and the various county councils, the ATU intends to conduct this research on an annual basis and extend the data collection to more islands off the Irish coast from 2023.
A boost in funding for the nighttime sector has been described as crumbs from the table after it emerged this week that the long-promised basic income for the arts has again been delayed. An extra €1.4 million was being made available to support off-peak entertainment in venues across the country. Donegal musician Matt McGranahan is a spokesperson for the Music and Entertainment Association of Ireland.
The context that it's just coming 2 days after, you know, there's been another delay to the basic income for arts, then it's very difficult to sort of to be kind of jubilant about this, I suppose. The first payments should have been in April. has now been delayed to beyond September. This was going to be the panacea. This was going to solve everything. And now where it is, we're going to be into a different pandemic. We're already in the middle of a different crisis, of the cost of living crisis, and we still haven't got the basic income for artists forced payment made.
For every road death, there are 20 serious injuries which can have life-changing effects on the individual themselves and on their families. That's according to a former emergency department consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital, who was speaking this week at the launch of a Midsummer Road Safety Campaign at the ATU campus in Letterkenny. Gerry Lane says if people were to heed the message being given, lives would be saved and injuries prevented.
This event is probably the most important piece of work I'm going to do this summer, because this event may save some Donegal and Northwestern lives. The message that we're trying to get across is very simple, and people have heard it before. If you're out in a car, drive at an appropriate speed for the conditions you're in. Please wear your seatbelt and have everybody in the vehicle wear your seatbelt. Don't be distracted by your mobile phone or anything else inside the vehicle. And finally, never ever get behind the wheel if you're intoxicated with alcohol or drugs. And if everybody hears those messages and takes them to heart, we'll have fewer deaths by the end of this summer in Donegal.
We sometimes use the phrase non-life-threatening injuries. From your point of view, from your colleague's point of view, from the hospital's point of view, it's not that simple.
Not at all, and certainly not from the point of view of the individual and the family who has to look after them. What we lose sight of is for every one death, there are 20 serious injuries. That range of injuries can alter people's lives forever, and not just alter the lives of the individual, who may or may not be in a chair, but also their family who have to support them through their rehabilitation period, even if that rehabilitation period could last for the rest of their lives. So while we're talking about deaths and avoidable deaths, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Underneath that statistic of deaths, there are a huge number of people who are avoidably injured and preventably injured. And again, the same message goes out.
And that was Gerry Lane, former ED consultant in Letterkenny. And recent statistics have revealed almost 70% of land in Derry City and Strabane District is covered by mining concessions. Foil MLA Sinead McLaughlin has written to the North's Economy Minister expressing deep concern at the figure. She says a rethink in policy is necessary, saying the situation in Northern Ireland is very different to the situation in other similar areas.
Well, mining concessions, allows and gives companies permission to survey and assess sites and carry out exploratory work, including 69.1% of the local authority area in Derry and Strabane have actually got mining concessions. It's extraordinary, really, when you compare that to only 7.7% mining concessions actually are given to the whole of Scotland.
Well, the forecast, Met Éireann tell us there'll be a few spells of hazy sunshine this evening, but staying rather cloudy in general, with some well-scattered showers and light variable or southeasterly winds. Mostly dry tonight with a mix of cloud and clear spells. Some mist or fog patches developing toward dawn, again in light southeasterly winds. Lowest overnight temperature 7 to 9. Tomorrow Thursday, mostly dry. A few brighter sunny spells, some isolated showers. Highest temperatures tomorrow 17 to 21 degrees Celsius. Again, winds light and variable. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Main stories, and the Workplace Relations Commission has invited the government and unions to resume public sector pay talks. It comes after ICTU representatives said they would prepare for industrial action in September unless talks were to get back up and running. Police in Strabane investigating a serious road traffic collision on the Melmount Road outside St Mills yesterday afternoon are appealing to witnesses to come forward. Refugees arriving in Ireland could spend the winter in tents because of the numbers. That's according to the Red Cross. There are calls for a review of coercive control legislation. The manager of the Donegal Domestic Violence Centre believes the focus must be on the needs of victims. Hope is fading of an agreement on agriculture sector emissions this evening, and a public consultation on the new visitor centre at Fannad Lighthouse continues this evening at Fanavolty Hall until 8 o'clock. Our next bulletin is at 6. Good evening. The eviction notices for this Wednesday evening, the 27th of July. The death has taken place of Lawrence Deary, Gorth na Brad, Carrigart. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, this evening at 7 o'clock, going to his late residence. Neighbours and friends welcome. Funeral from there on Friday to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Jonathan Johnny Keating, 11 Fern Hill, Glencar, Letterkenny. Reposing at the family home at 4 Tara Court, Letterkenny, from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock on tomorrow Thursday evening. Jonathan's friends only, please. Funeral from there on Friday morning to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on the parish Facebook page. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Emergency Department, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. And the death has taken place of Anna McLoone, Ducro, Clohan. Anna is reposing at her sister Rosha's home in Binmore, Clohan. Requiem Mass in the Church of the Holy Family, Eden Infa, at 12 noon tomorrow, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Family time, please, from after the rosary. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.